Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
Well, hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the final show for 2013 of Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, here to dish up some deliciously delectable consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. I'd like to thank the wonderful Gaya Degbolola, who brought us in with her Hungry Woman Blues. Some of you may be familiar with her from her former group, Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women. I just adore them. And also, I hear Gay will be in the band with my friend Leah Gilmore on Leah's next CD, Classically Blue, live at the UB Blake Center. So I'm looking forward for that project to come out. So, you know, we hope to have the cure for the Hungry Woman and Hungry Man Blues on this show, where on second Sundays at 6, we serve up a big dish on natural and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. Right now, I'll share a little bit about myself with you. Just to let you know, Spirit has called me to work within my practice and ministry, Mind, Body, and Spirit Works, to facilitate expression of one's highest self through divinely inspired and assisted holistic healing, teaching, coaching, and writing services. And my holistic table has served up a lot of different offerings over the past few decades. I'm aging myself now, I know. And one of the offerings is Mind, Body, and Soul Food, which has provided an opportunity each month to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of truly gifted holistic healers and light workers. And I'd like to give a big thank you out to all of you listeners who support the show. A special thank you to those who tuned in last month to hear our amazing guest, Dr. Bernie Siegel, regale us with his amazing wisdom that's captured in his latest book, very insightful book, The Art of Healing. So tonight we really end things with another wonderful treat. As you know, we are smack dab in the middle of holiday season, or as I like to say, holy day season. And there are so many late fall and winter holidays, it's really hard to keep them all straight. And it's literally impossible not to be impacted by at least one of them, whether it's through your own personal celebration or just being inundated with comments on social media, or, you know, just seeing everything in the store taken over by the different decorations and items for sale. Or it may be those little remembrances that come up of days gone past, and knowing that some of those who were with us at that time are no longer with us on the earth plane. It may be we get reminders through the various schedule changes. We all like taking time off from work, I hope. There might be some financial shifts, et cetera. So we're all impacted in some way. And tonight's guest is going to share her vast wisdom to help us tap into holiday gratitude and escape the 6 traps of overabundance that has me intrigued, and create new holiday traditions brimming with joy. Now, that's a large order, but I know my guest is up for the challenge. So without further ado, I'd like to extend a warm mind, body, and soul food welcome to renowned radio show host, teacher, intuitive, writer, and all-around wise woman, Sarah Wiseman. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Tanya, thank you so much for
inviting me to your feast tonight, and I guess I'm bringing my own little potluck dish.
Wonderful. I love it. I love a good metaphor, and I'll just bake it to death.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Well, I was telling Sarah before the show started that we're experiencing a winter wonderland out here in the D.C. metro area with our first snow of the season. So it really feels like we're getting into the holidays now. But before we get into the topic of tonight's show, I'd love for you, Sarah, to share with the audience who you are and what you do at your healing table.
Yes, thank you. Well, let's see. Who I am is evolving always, as it is for everybody. But I think when I go back to when I began to become this particular self or this particular way of living, back in 2000, I had a near-death experience. And it seemed to me, when I looked back, that everything really shifted quite dramatically from that experience and that new sort of awareness. And I guess the best way I can describe it at that time is I just finally, like, I understood God, divine oneness. I just knew it suddenly in that instant. And I hadn't understood, I'd only understood it, I guess, theoretically before, or, you know, I had belief, but I didn't really know. So something kind of blew open at that moment. And then the next years were all about more and more of this, like, opening. And Tanya, I gotta tell you, like, I didn't really wanna open.
Please. Yes.
Yeah. So I was kind of stubborn, and it took a long time and repeated visits by the divine. But what ended up happening is that my intuitive self opened up really fully, and I began to just, you know, be able to have intuitive gifts and other gifts. And then, because intuition and spirituality, in my mind at least, are so, looks like the same path but walked from different directions, myself as soul began to expand. So that's kind of where I am now. I've written, I teach what I call spiritual intuition, which is intuition based sort of like a soul progression. And I've written a number of books, and I do a lot of coursework with the Daily Om. I have a lot of courses with them. So my path now is kind of just teaching everybody what it took me all those stubborn years to sort of figure out, in hopes that it's going to help them, you know, create change and bring peace and joy to their own lives by using some of these methods of working and thinking about things.
You know, I hear you talk about some of the things that you do, and it's like, wow, when I grow up, I want to be just like you, but me.
Yeah, everybody should just be just like me, or not like me, but like their own me. Definitely,
right,
I agree
exactly.
With that. Yeah.
Well, as you said, you've published several books, you've written on many themes, and most recently publishing this beautiful book I've been reading, Living a Life of Gratitude: Your Journey to Grace, Joy, and Healing. And to you, what is the significance of gratitude? Because I know we just passed Thanksgiving, one of our famous fall holidays, and there's a lot of focus on gratitude, especially during that month. Not necessarily anyone focusing on it the rest of the year, but for November, there is a focus on gratitude by a whole lot of folks.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. You know, sometimes in books, you sort of prepare the book proposal and the book contract sort of with a loose outline, and then, you know, the publisher accepts it, and then you sit down and you realize you have no idea what you're going to be writing about, and the writing of the book in itself is this journey to understanding. And that's kind of what happened with this book. I think at the beginning I thought gratitude was about being thankful. And what I realized is that gratitude is not about being thankful. That's part of it, but the real piece of gratitude is about becoming aware, like becoming aware of each little moment or each little experience in your life. Some of them might be, you know, beautiful and wonderful, and some of them might be, you know, really complicated or really difficult or horrible. But like if you think of your life as like this long strand of pearls, and each little experience is one of those pearls, and the whole thing together is beautiful, so that it's not all of this false positivity and being thankful and writing a gratitude journal. Those are okay, but I think going deeper and just beginning to become aware of each experience and being like, oh my gracious, that is, wow, just this endless wow sort of going on in your head.
Mm. So your journey to this understanding of gratitude, I'm sure a lot of it was impacted by, as you said, your near-death experience that you had and other experiences in your life. And are you finding that people are sounding out to you, telling you they're resonating with this idea or this concept of gratitude? Is it making sense to them? Is it providing meaning for them?
People say about the book in general is that because the book is written with little stories, there's 88 little stories, and what happens to folks is I think when they read one of the stories, it brings up something out of their own life, their own memory, or it kind of calls them back to an experience that might have been either like similar or maybe like really different. But it just
Up exercises at the end to have us to do that, to recall. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's so helpful.
Yeah. So people, when they go back into their own memory or recollection, they find that it's just a big treasure maybe that they haven't even thought about for a long time. So it brings that forward again to kind of be reexamined.
Mm. Well, I mean, I must say I've had a similar experience because I've been reading this book at a time in which it's been a rough year. And I'm not alone in that. And speaking with a lot of my friends and family, 2013 has been a year chock full of blessings in disguise. That's what one of my friends calls them, blessings in disguise. And so just being able to pay attention to become aware, as you say, of these moments of just amazement, some so very simple, and just to drop into that state of gratitude has been so helpful for me. So I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good.
So go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just thinking it's interesting because I often am sort of on to the next, not project, but I think about a lot of things. And so a lot of folks are writing me about ideas of they're having spiritual awakening or awakening into new awareness this year. So that awareness is kind of what you're talking about. Like just, I don't know, it's just like we're more conscious this year than last year. It's very interesting. That's what I'm finding. It's like people are more, not everybody, of course, that's for sure, but
right.
lots of folks are more, they're just like they're just paying attention better. And that's a really fantastic thing.
Yes. Yes, it is. And that's exciting to me to see evidence of that. Mm-hmm. Well, getting to more of what we're going to discuss tonight, you know, I told you I was intrigued by this term overabundance. Because when you think of the term overabundance, you think, you know, is that an oxymoron? Can there really be too much abundance? You know, how do you define it? And why is it a state that may need us to proceed with caution, or at least perhaps with awareness or consciousness?
Mm-hmm. I think the idea of overabundance might be this idea that, you know, when you're a kid and maybe you're getting a holiday gift and you've spent, you know, the whole month or 2 months, you know, whatever your holiday practice is, but let's just say it's Santa. Like, Santa, please bring me this. Bring, you know, you're sort of manifesting as a kid that you'll be getting this amazing gift that you want. And so often it's like you get the gift and then it's like this giant letdown because it's almost like the joy was in the creating of the gift, the manifesting of the gift, or the thinking about the gift. And I think when the holidays come, there are so many ways we're sort of amped up in like lots of different areas, so that it's sort of like the whole volume dial is turned up on our lives in terms of food and gifts and social stuff. And really, we can have too much. There are lots of people who do better with that, you know, just the right amount. And when we sort of, you put the cup out and the cup's like nicely full and you're like, ah, perfect. And then like more just keeps pouring into the cup. Like, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what to do with it. It's overabundance. And I think that's what happens in a lot of areas during the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. I can even feel it as you talk about it, that turning up the notch, turning up the dial, that overamped feeling. And it makes me want to avoid stores at this time, especially, mm-hmm. I'll say, the big box stores, mm-hmm. the discount stores. My energy can't take it. It's too much, too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even too much, that would probably be an example of too much, I would say. A lot of the big box stores are very low vibration just in how they're set up, you know, the fluorescent lighting and the off-gassing of the products. But you could also, I think, you could even have too much high vibration stuff. Like, say a high vibration activity might be like going to a music event. You know, if you went to one music event or a couple, it's going to be fantastic. But if you went to, I don't know, a music event every night, that would be overfilling your cup.
Right. Yes, yeah. I can understand that. So you state that there are six traps of overabundance that you've identified. And so I'd like for us to look at the six traps of overabundance and how we can opt out of the stress vest if we get caught in these traps, and how we can create new holiday traditions that are brimming with joy, and I'll add peace and calm, mm-hmm. and meaning, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So what's trap number one?
Yeah, well, I kind of like to group them just to help people sort of keep track a little easier. But, like, so the first three are food and gifts and socializing. So it's sort of like the party aspect of the holidays, I guess, which we think is all really good, but we'll go through one by one and kind of explain how they can trap you up. And then the next three are more around the deeper vibe of, I'd call them like the relationship, and it's about family and tradition and group thoughts. So that's a little bit different, more relationship focused. And it's interesting. This is interesting because last night we had my my husband and my kids had our tree trimming party. And so it was really difficult to coordinate, like, who's going to be where, because some of the kids are older. And I think I just realized, just when you said that, like, I just got to practice my first avoidance of the six traps, and I'm curious to see how I did yesterday as we review these steps.
Okay.
But I think we did do it. So the first
trap.
Okay,
good. We're here to keep you honest, Sarah. Okay.
Well, the first trap is food, and now I, you know, work out of my home office, but many years I worked at different offices, you know, where you go in, and I always remember the food, like in the coffee room, there would be these like giant boxes of like donuts and chocolate and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like you'd, every minute you'd just be going in there and just like, okay, one more. And then by the end of, you know, the work day, your sugars would be, you know, zinging around, you feel terrible. And then you'd go to some event or party and have more food and more alcohol and, you know, and so it's not about, in no way, in fact, I don't care for the idea of dieting or restricting or, you know, but it's about recognizing that all this holiday food feast tastes great, you should enjoy it, but if you have overabundance, it's going to make you feel sick. And especially at this time of, like, we want our emotions and our energy and our vibration to be stabilized and really nicely flowing during this time because it's so many hurdles. And if you throw that food in there, your emotions are going to go up and down and your vibration's going to go up and down. And so recognizing that you can control. So last night I indulged freely in cookies and we had champagne and but today we were back on like the regular track. It's like, so yesterday was the feast, but it's not going to be, I'm going to pick some days. Okay, today's a feast day. Go for it. And then knowing that the more I stick to like healthful diet, the better I'm going to feel and the better able I'm going to be able to be present. So it's sort of about not indulging all the time because it makes you a little unstable to do so.
Mm-hmm. Now that makes sense. And I think many of us set out with good intentions to follow that. It's like, okay, well, I'll let my hair down at this holiday party. I don't get out much. You know, we're going to have a good time, but tomorrow I'll blah, blah, blah. And then somehow tomorrow comes and some of us don't blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about, you know, some friends who said, well, I'm going to do a juice fast or I'm going to fast after Thanksgiving. And I said, oh, that's a great idea. I think I'm going to do some sort of cleansing too after Thanksgiving. And, yeah, I did a lot of cleansing of cleaning out the refrigerator and the leftovers for days to the point where I just don't want to see any Thanksgiving-looking food for quite some time. Now I'm back on track. I feel I'm back on track. Mm-hmm. But it didn't take, it wasn't the next day. It wasn't the day after that or the day after that. It took some time. And for some of us who attract weight easily, I'll say, adipose endowed, that can, having several days in a row like that can be, can feel a little heavy, no pun intended.
Yeah, and I think even this morning, so we did indulge quite heavily in the sugars last night, and I loved it. It was great, but it was hard this morning because the cookies were still out, and I had some this morning actually, but then because the sugars make you want more sugars, and so you have to, you know, get that sort of out of your system. So I like to just. Is that the very least you can do is maybe you just drink a bunch of water, you know, even that, or you go out and get a breath of fresh air and Maybe you can't, you don't feel good enough to do a walk or your exercise, but you just go out and like get some fresh air and then call it good. It's progress towards feeling good. Like feasts are meant to be celebratory. And then get back on track as you're able and, you know, just doing that, but being aware that you're going to feel better emotionally the more you can, you know, kind of keep the body happy.
So it's a very gentle and loving approach to self, no getting caught up in the guilt and self-flagellation. It's like you've celebrated. That's wonderful. I'm still celebrating a bit, and I will get back to where I need to get back to in divine time and order.
Yeah, and you know, it might be like in a person's life, maybe right now they need to celebrate and totally indulge from Halloween to New Year's and beyond. Maybe that's where they are in what they need internally, and I think that's great. I think if that's what your soul needs to kind of have that, then by all means, you know, just allow that. No shame ever. We're all too beautiful as beings to ever have shame or guilt. No time for that. Yeah.
No time for that. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is food.
Next is gifts, and gifts are something that it is fun to give things, and it is fun to receive things, but what I'm feeling is that society has kind of amped it up so that, I don't do any of this, we live kind of in the country actually, so but this idea of going out Thursday after Thanksgiving and standing in line for the Black Friday sales, or, you know, there was even some violence at some of the sales events, or going into debt, you know, to buy stuff, or, and even this idea of, like, you have to bring a hostess gift. I mean, maybe, but really the person just wanted you to show up with yourself. You know, it's not necessarily to have a big elaborate, you know, something. Just bring yourself and give them a hug and be present at the party. And that's like way better than, you know, the what is that called? The fruitcake. Is that right? The fruitcake that everyone used to bring back in the day.
The fruitcake, yes.
Yeah.
That my mother
needs another fruitcake.
Exactly.
Yeah, nobody needs that. They just want you there. So so what I decided this year is that I wasn't going to go into any big box store until from that Halloween to January 1st. I'm just not going to do it. And I also decided that I'm really not interested in incurring debt, like buying a lot of stuff. And I noticed that the family's really, really into it too. It's like everybody feels, I don't know, it just doesn't feel, you know, we don't have younger kids, so toys aren't really the issue, but it's just feeling like a deep relaxing on that whole stress of buying and shopping and wrapping and getting and taking back, and this is really relaxing, the whole thing.
And, you know, that's an interesting one because I've been evolving over the years with that one, and from going into debt to buy things and spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars, et cetera, and buying for everyone, I came to a realization that I have over 30 nieces, nephews, great-nieces, great-nephews, godchildren.
Yeah.
There is no way. There is no way. And so I released that, and even with 5 siblings and their significant others, my family came up with a plan several years ago. I would say it's been at least 15, 20 years maybe, in which we draw names, the adults draw names, and we cap the gift at $20, $25, and we tend to get a gift for our mom and get a gift for the name that we draw. Now, some people who may have more, who may choose to do more, they can get gifts for others in the family. That's fine. But, you know, it's a nice sigh of relief to know I don't have to buy for so many, especially with four brothers. Buying for men is difficult. And that has really been a relief. And then I went through a period where I was doing handmade gifts, something I made or something like that. They were appreciated in some pockets, but in others not as much because I don't really have that type of skill. But, go ahead.
Oh, no, I mean, I think handmade gifts are great if you have, like, the knack. Because for me, I don't have the knack at all. And so all my family is creating these masterpieces, and I've got these little, you know, paint and glue, and it's like, this is horrible. So, you know, don't stress yourself out if the hands don't do what the mind it wants them to do. I mean, it's funny. I just don't have it. So,
and that becomes a trap in and of itself. The stress of trying to do some beautiful masterpiece, you know, when you don't have that skill.
Yeah, it's funny about the men too. It just recalled my father's been passed on for about 15 years now, but he used to always say, we'd be like, Dad, what can we get you? And he'd say, I have everything I need. The only thing I don't have that I really, really need is I need some more socks. And he liked to wear this kind of dress sock, like it was a black sock with a gold toe. And he's like, if I'm serious, if you could give me this, because I hate shopping for those socks. And so we would just go get him his socks, and he'd be like, oh, so wonderful, socks. And I don't know. It's like doing the service of, you know, doing the shopping that he didn't want to do, that was unpleasant for him, you know, because something so mundane, so funny.
But it's beautiful and meaningful for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
To actually give a gift that someone will truly appreciate.
Right. And you did the work of, you know, going down to the store, because that was before anything online, of course.
Right.
You did the work going to the store, standing in line, you know, doing the task. Yeah. Well, and now the third trap is this this idea of socializing. And so, you know, I have on my radio show, we talk a lot about giving a shout out to all the introverts listening, because I'm an introvert. I have a lot of introverts listening to my show. That's kind of like who I work with, is very quiet people. But so if you're an extrovert, I think you should go out and enjoy the heck out of the season. But if you are an introvert, this trap of socializing, I think it's really okay to pace your energy and pace yourself and really realize what is what's too much. If it's going to cause a lot of anxiety to go to a party or, you know, to go to too many events, I think it's really a very self-caring piece to just kind of opt out of all the invitations and really allow yourself to not go. And one of the other reasons is, you know, at least in this part of the U.S. and where you are too, Tanya, it's like we're in winter now. So winter is our natural time of deep rest and being still and being quiet. And so especially for introverts or sensitives or introverts or people who need a lot of that inner quiet, it just might not be a right fit for you right now. So be very gentle again on how you feel. If it's causing anxiety to go, just don't go.
And it's interesting that you say that. I love that you are speaking for the introverts of the world. And obviously, I am an extrovert. I think that comes across loudly and clearly. But there even comes a time with the extroverts where enough is enough. I guess there's that overabundance of invitations, and it gets overwhelming. And then if you're a people pleaser like I have been, or let's just say I am in recovery, as a people pleaser, you want to go to more than one. It's like, oh, I can't ignore so-and-so's event, and I want to do so-and-so's. you know, just allowing yourself to be loving and saying no to all the many options that are out there, picking and choosing just one or two, or one or two a week. You know, if that works
well,
for
that
you,
that would be the extrovert's amount, one or two a week.
Right, exactly.
The introvert might be like two a month, maybe. But you know what? I just thought too, like maybe two, because introverts do so well with one-on-one time, and maybe for some people, it's really, you know, say there's an older person that, you know, can't get out a whole lot, and maybe you just go. Spend some time with that one person, and that's your sort of holiday gathering, just you and one other. Could be a really beautiful, fantastic, you know, way to think about it.
What a way to provide service to someone else, to give back and provide some joy for them. That's nice.
Yeah. Moving it in a slower pace that comforting to both.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the fourth trap is family. And family is a beautiful thing, but sometimes family is where we have these, you know, deep, unhealed wounds or wounds that need healing in lots of families. I have a course on Thiele Om that talks about release yourself from family karma, and it talks about the seven wounds that are in all families, you know, and it could be abuse or addiction or poverty, or I actually don't remember them all right now, but these big universal things that are in our families or in our ancestries. And so when you're heading back to spend family time, so like most of us, you know, as we leave the family home at some point in our, you know, young 20s or something around there, or even earlier, and then we go live off on our own. And then when we come back, you know, any wounds maybe haven't been fixed or healed, and then we're just trying to, you know, stuff into holiday mode, and the wounds are still there. And it might, maybe your family doesn't have big wounds. Maybe they just have some little things that still haven't been worked out. But it becomes this kind of boiling pot for dysfunction with this you know, forced coming together. And so, it's a really good time to be so gentle with yourself, just so gentle in terms of what you can deal with.
You know, I adore my family. I absolutely adore them, and I look forward to visiting them. But I must say, it requires a great deal of energy, because I'm shifting gears, and I go from being the 40-something grown, responsible person to the youngest child who wants to, you know, break out of being the youngest child and get bossy with the nieces and nephews and get bossy with mom and fuss at her for her diet and not doing what she needs to do with her health, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, I hear myself. It's like there's a piece of myself that is floating up and looking down and seeing my interaction style and cringing. It's like, oh, this isn't how I want to be. How did I get caught up in this cycle again? And it's exhausting. And it requires recovery when I come home.
Yeah. And that's in, you know, a really beautiful, loving family system whereas lots of people listening might have, you know, super dysfunction, you know, all the ways that this could be. And so, yeah, I noticed last night, my oldest daughter, she's 23, so she's been living out, and we were really fortunate that she could be with us last night because she usually works at night. And just having her here really shifted the dynamics of the other two who are 14 and 18. And it was really interesting to see how with one extra person added, the whole group changed. And then just noticing how that's going to continue as we go visit other, you know, relatives later on. And I found that my daughter and I are having a few disagreements, and I had decided that this particular day I was just going to be like the saint, the saint of saintliness. And she would bring up these loaded triggers, right? And I just didn't respond. And it was a miracle. It was like a divine miracle. When I didn't respond, she couldn't get her trigger like answered, and the whole thing just dropped. It was fascinating. I had not had so much success with that before, so that was pretty nifty. So
yay.
Yeah. But kind of like setting your intention, like I want to go in peace. I want to be peace when I'm there. If others are, you know, being non-peaceful, then I'm just going to, you know, maybe remove myself or leave early or have an exit strategy. Yeah, those kinds of things. And, it's
that,
you know, each family is going to be real different on you know, if there's deep wounds, maybe you won't be spending, maybe you spend time with the family of friends that you've created. You know, or you don't go into the old wound. It's too much, you know, until you've done some work around that. So each person has to kind of notice that for themselves.
Right. Chosen family is very, very meaningful, too. And they are a viable option with whom to spend time with during the holidays. Very good.
Yeah,
you know,
and
I want to pause while I hear... go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I wanted to just pause for a moment to invite callers if they have any questions or any comments or any insights as to what's been helpful for them in escaping the traps of overabundance that we've spoken about, to just call in. Our number is 917-889-7806. Again, that is 917-889-7806, and follow the prompt, speak to the host, which means pressing the 1, and we'd be glad to take your call. So please continue, Sarah.
I think family leads us into this fifth trap, which is tradition. And I like to tell a funny story here, and I don't know about your family, Tanya, but my family, so we have a lot of things that in years past we did them because, like, we've always done them that way. And it came to me, so we have this coffee cake that we make, and it supposedly came from my father's mother, and she had, this is the big myth, the big tradition was that she'd created this coffee cake, and it was like a secret recipe. We weren't supposed to give it out, and, you know, on and on. And then, so during my father's mother, who's been departed like for decades now, so she's one of the easiest departed. She's often around me, and as is my father, as departed spirit. And so it's been very funny because one time, it wasn't this year, but she said something about the coffee cake isn't, like, it's no big deal, and showed me that, like, the coffee cake was just something she clipped out of the newspaper, you know, a couple days ahead. and here we have, like, you know, the sacred coffee cake of the family, you know, heirloom or whatever. And so it's funny because I bet a lot of those so-called sacred traditions are just because, you know, one year they did it that way, and then suddenly it's handed down, you know, in stone.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe look at, yeah, so look at, even this year at our tree pyramid, in years past we would have this giant sort of ritual of who put the star on and blah, de blah. And now with teenagers and young adults, I realized, like, we hardly, the tree has like three things on it. That was the most that anyone could get their energy to do because we were busy doing other things. And, you know, allowing your traditions to change as you change, I think that would be the key.
You know? I like that. Allowing your traditions to change as you change.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I have to breathe that one in. Because I'm creating all new tradition this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so just kind of feeling what resonates and what doesn't, what makes sense and what doesn't, and what's going to stick or potentially stick because it could change next year too. So just
absolutely.
Being open to that idea.
Yeah, and maybe it's not about even creating new traditions. It's just being open to the experience you're going to have, like, this year, you know, and next year might be totally different. I know this year we did, it was very exciting. We did a, wasn't that late, but we did a nighttime walk. We all had flashlights. It's, again, we're out in the country. So we did a nighttime walk through sort of this wooded area, and it was kind of scary and kind of exciting, and it was because it snowed here, so it was snowy, and it was fantastic. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we'll always do that walk. Who knows who will be there or what we'll be doing next year. You know, it's a whole different, so kind of being open to what feels right at that time.
That makes sense. Well, we have a caller from the 254 area code. And so, caller, you're live on the air with Sarah Wiseman, our guest on Mind, Body, and Soul Food. Do you have a question?
Surprise, surprise, it's Sabira.
Hey, Sabira.
Texas number, but I am in Maryland. And
hey,
I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying the show. It's really, you know, validating because I am a complete non-traditionalist.
Yes,
for the past, I'd say, at least probably 15, 20 years, I've done my own thing and, you know, realizing how all this commercialism, it's just, for me, it's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
So years ago, I opted out of it and said, I'm going to let people know every day how I feel about them. And let that be.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have actually adapted to me. And so there's no more pressure. It's just, you know, me being able to stand in, I choose not to participate. And I'll go to holiday parties and all of that, but I don't get into the buying, spending a bunch of money unnecessarily and, you know, because it's this obligation, so-and-so bought you something, so I refuse to do that.
Right.
And I feel so great about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's something to watch people going crazy. I was standing in line at a store yesterday, and there was a woman in front of me who was not from the States. Forget where she's from. But she looks at me and she said, you know, it is really amazing to me that you guys sit around the table on Thanksgiving and give all that you're thankful for and all that and join family. And the next day you're like wanting to kill each other in the store to grab more and grab more and grab more and grab more.
Right?
She was like, I don't get this. Like, we're not about that. I can't, and I wish I could remember where she's from, but not that it matters. It was just that impression that she had. Yeah.
Insightful.
So, well, you met someone who's different. I don't do all that. mm-hmm. the appreciation I get into, but all of that after that 24 hours later, I have no participation in that.
Yeah. Well, so, and that gives you like the whole 2 months or whatever, like you're just, by opting out, you're just completely free from all that pressure. And so it lets you enjoy the season, you know, as, so I guess Texas, is that more wintry? I don't know what the holiday, what the weather's like there, but.
No, I'm using a phone from Texas, but I'm actually here in Maryland. And so, yeah, I get to enjoy the snow and I get to enjoy all of that, and I just opt out of the commercial part of it all.
Yeah. That's where I'm at this year, too. In fact, I've pretty much opted out of almost all of it, and it's so freeing. It's just like, oh, my gosh, you get 2 more months in the year for your own
mm-hmm.
personal self and
exactly.
everything. It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sabira, for sharing
that. Sure,
thanks
for taking my call. Absolutely.
All right.
Yes, have a great night. Thanks for
Thank
the show.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we have another caller with the 780 area code. Hello, caller. What's your name?
It's Jay calling
hello?
From Canada. How's it going? Hello.
Well, hello, Jay. Calling from Canada.
mm-hmm.
Do you have a question for Sarah or a comment?
Yeah, I just wondered, are people, changing their... I don't know, has people like maxed out in their on emotions, their spending and limits and things like that? And are they looking at, how would you say it, creative ways to express themselves during Christmas time?
Yeah, well, I don't think it's so much about spending limits, Jay. I think it's more that people are evolving. So like we've kind of been hitting our heads against this brick wall for so many years now with the whole way we approach the holidays and even just like life in general. And it's sort of like all humans are kind of starting to have a different level of consciousness or evolution where we're like, we can do it differently. We don't have to be force ourselves to be miserable. We can we can do it differently. So I think this idea of people are starting to kind of wake up and awaken and become more aware, it's kind of just all part of the whole shift.
Interesting. Yeah. Up here in Canada, I'm calling it more of reclusive, if you want to call it, just watch people in malls and stuff like that and things like
yeah.
that. And, rushing. I just find it's more about family. Myself, it's more about family this year than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Not much gifts or anything, just being around people. Because, as your parents get older, it's about that time. It's not about the things, before.
Yeah, it's about connecting and having those relationships, like really being so grateful for, that you can have a relationship with these people, in the years that they have left. That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, I do talk with a lot of people from, I guess I would call it Eastern Canada quite a bit for some reason. And, so anyway, thank you for calling. It's always interesting to talk to people from different countries, even though Canada and the U.S. sometimes seems really similar, but there are unique, unique ways of looking at things. So I appreciate that you expressed that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling, Jay.
You're mm-hmm. welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, Sarah, time is just winding down, and I know we have one more.
I think Sabira, I believe, what's her name, covered it beautifully,
yes.
this idea
yes.
of group thought as a trap, this commercialization, the mass media, the social media, this sort of, great direction of how we should be, and really it's all just fantasy and projection, and we don't have to follow mainstream or commercial view. We can mm-hmm. opt out mm-hmm. and just kind of really be in our lives, however it is that we want to be in our lives.
And it can be difficult, I know, withstanding the pressure of that groupthink of the outside society when I like to say we would like to march to the beat of a different little drummer boy, and mm-hmm. other people, are really resisting that or, providing some sort of blockages or comments. And, mm-hmm. and you have to really, really be strong. I know I've had to really, really just breathe through it and focus on what is going to work for me. This is my life, and I have to live it for me.
Yeah. But, it's interesting because if we think of ourselves as instead of being the outcast or the one who's not doing it right, if we think mm-hmm. of ourselves in this opting out as we're pioneers or we're leading a new path, and even just right. hearing Sabira say, I opted out and it's fantastic, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, that is the new way. Let's all go there. That seems just exactly right. So this idea of being a pioneer in a new approach is maybe a nice way of, an encouraging way. It's mm-hmm. not that you're
that's a
humbug. You're a pioneer.
I like that. I'm a pioneer. And then you have enough pioneers who congregate together, because invariably the pioneers do. We tend to mm-hmm. find each mm-hmm. other, and then it's a bigger group, and then you feel less of like an outsider because
right.
you do have more of a core group of folks who have similar mindsets or heart sets, as I like to say.
Yeah.
So I like that shift, though, of being a pioneer.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's so much to really take in, so much to digest, but if you could just sum it up in a few sentences, what would you want us to leave here remembering about avoiding these traps of overabundance?
I think what you said at the beginning of the show was the holidays are holy days, and to respect that in yourself and in others and in how you spend your time, and to be very gentle with yourself during this sort of amped up period of extra buzzy energy, and just be very, very gentle. Be gentle and do what you can and let the rest go.
I love it. That makes sense. Well, before we go, I would like for folks to know how they can contact you to dine at your healing table, perhaps be able to tune into your radio show, Ask Sarah, and to get a copy of one of your books, including your latest, Living a Life of Gratitude.
Yeah, people can find me at sarahwiseman.com, and pretty much it's all there. There's like the radio show, and I've got a blog called Ask Sarah where people can write questions and then I answer them if I'm able to, which isn't always immediately, but I do my best.
Okay.
Yeah, and right now we've got some intuitive mastery courses starting in January, and there's just lots and lots of stuff there, so I invite people to visit. It's sarahwiseman.com and just kind of nose around and see what's there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Sarah Wiseman, author, spiritual teacher, intuitive, for sharing such wonderful words of wisdom for us, taking us into the Holy Days season. And we would like to invite listeners to tune in again next month. And next month we're starting a new format. We'll be twice a month, first and second Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for more mind, body, and soul food. And so next month we'll have Reverend Anthony Farmer, a dear friend of mine, my mentor. He'll discuss his new book, Conversations with the Elders, The Sacred Journeys, Volume 2. And we'll also have on the second Sunday Dr. Craig Wright, He is our numerologist extraordinaire, and he'll do numerology for the new year. And go to my website and find out information about what's going on with me. So that's Tonya, T-O-N-Y-A, at mindbodyandspiritworks.com. And lots of things going on. So please, I invite you to check that out. So holiday, holy day blessings to all of you until we dine on some more mind, body, and soul food. Take care.